I don't know if the first time I heard that song was in connection with Sister Elizabeth Lindau. Now, that might be a name that is familiar to some of you. She was a missionary to Formosa, Taiwan. And in her later years, my mother helped her and helped with her affairs. And I remember this was a song that she wanted sung at her funeral service, her homegoing service. I've heard the King. What a privilege it is to hear his voice. But I wonder, we say that in meetings, you've heard that now last night and tonight again, and maybe this morning. I've heard it in prayers that are prayed. God is speaking, and we come to church, God speaks to us. And you might say, well, I haven't heard him speak to me. Is he really speaking? How do I know he's speaking? How does that take place? Do I hear a voice? And so I just thought tonight I'd like to just consider that thought with you, because I know that God is speaking. And God speaks all the time. Right from the beginning of the Bible record, the history of man as we find in God's Word. Well, first of all, this book to me is proof that God wants to speak to you. This book right here, the Bible. God wants to communicate with you, no matter who you are. Again, no matter how young you are, how old you are. Doesn't matter where you've come from, what nationality you are, whether you're good looking or otherwise, it doesn't matter. God wants to speak to you. And we can go right through the Bible and record times when God spoke, but right at the beginning, what did he do after he created man? What did he do in the garden? Every day, what did he do? He came down and he talked with Adam and Eve. He walked in the garden. They heard his voice. He said to them, I love you. Now, where else in the Old Testament do we find God speaking? Who did he speak to?
Moses.
What a man Moses was. It says there that he spoke to him face to face. He communicated his will, his desire to Moses. Who else?
Samuel.
Remember that story? That little boy whose mom prayed for him, God, give me a son. God, give me a son. And God gave a son. And what did she do with that son? She said, I'm going to give that son back to you. And so she took him to the temple, to Eli. And she said, Eli, I want him to serve with you. He can be your helper. And you know the story, how he was ready to go to bed one night. And what happened? He was laying down and he heard a voice. Samuel. So he ran to Eli. Say, Eli, did you call me? What did Eli say? No, go lay down again. And he went and he laid down again and the voice came again. And I think it was on the third time when he went to Eli, Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling him. And he said, Samuel, go lay down. And when he calls again, you say, speak, Lord. For your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel did that, and God spoke to him. And not only on that occasion, but time and time again, God spoke to Samuel. I don't think he was probably any older than David there. Just a boy. And yet he learned to hear God's voice. Anyone else in the Old Testament that God spoke to? We heard about Elijah and how God called him. It was really nice. Brother George did a really good God. I mean, you know, in the and the children had no idea where the voice was coming from. It was great, you know. He was behind the curtain there and just over the mic. But I always liked that story, for a number of reasons. But one of them is at the end there, you know, after he complains. And maybe you feel this way. There's no one else in my school. There's no one else around me who serves God. There's no other young people who are serving God. They've all forsaken you. I'm the only one. And then what does God say at the end after he talks to him and commissions him again and gives him a mission? And he says, oh, and by the way, there's 7,000. 7,000 have not bowed the knee to Baal. You're not alone. You're not alone. And maybe if you feel you're alone and when you go back home, there's no one else. Well, you know, you can pray, God, show me and bring into my life friends who love you. Think that's a good prayer? Yes. God wants to speak to you. So we have in the Old Testament, and then all the prophets, right? God spoke to them and had a message for them. And they heard God's word and they wrote it down for us and gave it to the people at that time. But in the New Testament, how do we know God wants to speak to us? How do we know? It's in John's Gospel that we find that Jesus is given the title or the name, the Word. The Word. The Word. Now, have you ever thought about that? Isn't that an interesting name for Jesus? I mean, we know it's his name, but why is he called the Word? No one wants to guess? I mean, venture an answer. Morgan, why is he called the Word?
Oh, no.
Oh, no? All right. And anyone? We can go right that line. You want to help? We help Morgan? Why is he called the Word? Why do you think he has that name?
Jesus is the Word because the Word is Jesus.
Okay.
Okay. The name we call on?
The name we call on?
The Word, because that's the only thing we need in our lives.
Okay. I hope you're getting all this, right?
No.
No, nothing good?
No.
Then you help them out. Come on. Your dad's right behind you. Don't be
I'm aware.
All right, let me help you then. What do we use words for? We express ourselves, right, through words. Thank God that we can speak, right? Expression. What a wonderful thing words are, and language, right? You can express yourself. And God wanted to speak, and so he wants to express himself to you. He wants to express himself to man. So who did he send? He sends Jesus. He sends the Word. The Word. Tells us in Hebrews that he is the exact representation of God. You want to know what God is like? You look at Jesus. Jesus came to express God to us, to speak to us. It also says there in Hebrews, God who in past times, in sundry times, spoke through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son, who is the express image of his person. God wants to communicate with us. He sends his Son. He speaks to us through his Son. Later on in John's Gospel, we read about the Good Shepherd. John 10. And there it says, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. And they follow me. It says there also that they don't know the voice of the other shepherds, so to speak. They know their shepherd's voice. Another shepherd they won't follow. And that's the wonderful thing. God wants you to hear his voice and for you to know that it's his voice, so that when other voices call, you'll recognize that it's not his voice. Many voices will call for our attention. Which voice do you listen to? You know, I don't like people who walk around with things in their ears. I shouldn't say that. I like people, but I don't necessarily like it when people walk around with things in their ears. Sometimes my kids have it, you know, puts on it. What are you listening to? So many things we allow to go in through our ears. We listen to a lot of things. We hear a lot of things that this world offers us. But Jesus would like you to hear his voice. And maybe if you want to hear his voice, you have to get rid of those things in your ears. Or maybe you have to switch what you're listening to. I was teasing a number of years ago. I think I was teasing. Maybe I wasn't. But I said, you know, that you could listen to Brother Hans Waldfogel on your iPod. Did you know that? Is he on your playlist? You'll be like, who is he? Right? Who is he? We choose who we listen to, or what we listen to. And sometimes the things that we listen to drowned out the voice of Jesus. Because he's always calling. I'm going to say that again. He's always calling. He's always wanting to communicate with you. In John 5, maybe we could just look at that real quickly. In the 24th verse. Well, maybe we can just go back a little bit to 17. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." Jesus gave them this answer, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man." Why is it so important that you hear the voice of Jesus? Why is it so important? Because unless you hear the voice of Jesus, unless you hear God speaking to you, you will not have eternal life. It's those who hear the voice of the Son of God that have life. Now, I'm sure that we could look at this and consider the day when Jesus' voice will be heard and there will be that resurrection to life. But I believe that also Jesus was referring to the fact that he was going to give us life now. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so unless you've heard his voice, you don't have life. I remember I was 6 years old. And I was here at Pilgrim Camp, 6 years old. My first year in the cottage. Now, back in those days, you could come for a whole month. Maybe you still could come for a whole month. But my parents, they would send me for the whole month. I was a good boy. They didn't send me because I was bad. But I remember being here at camp, and in this very room, I heard the voice of the Son of God. Now you might say, what did you hear, Brother Phil? Well, there was a man here who was our head counselor, and he presented the salvation message. To be honest, I don't remember what he said. But I know that it spoke to my heart. I know that something, I heard something within. Do you understand that? And so he invited any of us who wanted to give their hearts to Jesus. I don't know if we came forward, but I do remember that after the meeting, right afterwards, he took us into the library. And again, I don't remember how many there was. I wasn't the only one. There were others. And he explained to us, again, exactly what this meant. And I gave my heart to Jesus that day. I asked him to forgive me of my sins. There's a black book or there's a Bible in that library. Now, please don't go there. Well, you can if you want, but it has my name in it. I mean, Sister Caroline Gardner would come to the cottage, and if you had given your heart to Jesus that year at camp, then you could write your name in the book. It was like the Lamb's Book of Life, you know. And I'm sure she told us about the Lamb's Book of Life. And so I remember writing my name in that book. And it's there to this day. It's also in heaven to this day. Thank you. Thanks be to God, right? God wants you to hear his voice. Just one more reference, and that's, well, maybe more than one, but Matthew 13. It's a very familiar parable of the sower and the seed, and I don't want to necessarily speak about this parable, but maybe just read a few verses with you. It says, the same day, verse 1, went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, choked them. But the other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, By seeing ye shall hear, or by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, I'm going to switch over to the NIV, has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. And I read this, and I often say, Lord, what are you saying? Here Jesus was teaching the multitudes, and it was as if he was saying, well, I'm teaching them in parables so that they really don't get it. But it seems here there was something wrong with their hearts. And I think that's where it must begin. If we want to hear God speak, we say God is speaking in the meetings, God is speaking, and he speaks through testimonies and songs, and he uses people to speak to us. But if our hearts aren't right with God, it becomes almost impossible for us to hear God in a meeting like this. Do you understand that? He says, yes, they hear with their ears, but they don't really perceive. Or they don't really see. They don't understand that I am walking among them and I am desiring to minister to them. They just don't get it. Because their hearts, what does it say? Are become calloused. There's a hardness there. But then he goes on and he says this about the disciples. But blessed are your eyes, verse 16, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. This morning I just mentioned that the danger of being at camp and other places where God's word is spoken is that we hear so many things from God, but we don't appreciate it. Do you understand that? You know, I've grown up in, I was brought up in church. You understand what that means? I mean, you know, since I was in diapers, I was in church, probably before. My little girl, Audrey, Audrey was at Pilgrim Camp. How old was she? 2 weeks old. You might say, what's wrong with you? How did your wife ever let you do that? But and so my point is that we grow up in a place like this. Johnny's been here all his life too. Been at Pilgrim Camp, right? That's his address. I mean, and we need to be careful because we can hear these things and we say, oh, I heard that before. I heard the parable of the sower. What Brother Phil can't tell me. I know that, you know. And we shut down. Or someone gets up to testify and we say, what could that person say to me? And we shut it down. Or maybe we don't pay attention and we don't realize that God maybe wants to speak to us through a hymn. And we need to be very careful that we don't take these things for granted. He says there's prophets, and this was Jesus talking, there's prophets who would have desired to have been here where you are. To hear the things and to see the things that you're seeing. And I say this to myself, I'm blessed. I am blessed to have heard the things I've heard and to see the things I've seen. I don't want to take it for granted. We don't want to take God's presence for granted. Thank God that he manifests himself to us. He comes. He comes and he draws near to us. And so he goes on and he explains to his disciples this parable. It's so easy for us when the word of God is spoken at times. Sometimes it doesn't even get in. You know, maybe we're thinking about something else or we're preoccupied and we don't even hear. somehow we're distracted, and it says there the enemy comes and just snatches that away. And maybe we'll walk out of the meeting tonight, or maybe we walked out of the meeting this morning and we forgot what happened. The enemy comes and distracts us and takes that word, that good seed, out of our hearts, as it were. And it doesn't find root in our hearts. And then he goes on and he talks about those who, yes, they receive the word. God does a work in them. The word of God impacts their lives, but the ground is no root. And so trials come. The sun comes up. And what happens? That plant withers and dies. And then it talks about cares and pleasures of this life. Again, we make a choice. We choose the things of this life. And they choke the word of God, the good seed. It becomes ineffective. And then there's the heart that receives the word and says, Lord, help me to obey. Help me to do. Help me to follow on. And that word springs up and bears fruit. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And just in closing, how do I know that God is speaking today? How do I know? Well, in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, there's the message to the churches. And to those seven churches, Jesus Christ himself speaks. Jesus is the one whose words are recorded in those chapters. Jesus has something to say to the church. And each message ends with the phrase, what is it? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I don't think it's something that Jesus said 2,000 years ago. It's something that he says today. You know, someone has said it this way. Because God inhabits eternity, God is not bound by time. God is not bound by our limitations. When he speaks into eternity. And what that means is that when he speaks, that word just continues, as it were, to be spoken. And so when you pick up the Bible and it speaks to you, why is that? Because it's the eternal God who is speaking. It's a God who's not bound by time, not by our limitations. His word is alive and powerful. Just as I'm speaking to you tonight, God's word is that powerful and active right now. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me. And so while we're here at camp, I don't know, I guess we'll be in a lot of meetings together. I mean, you know, every day, right? We come together and we come with that attitude of faith. Lord, speak to me. Speak to me today. When you open your Bible in the morning and have your morning devotions, Lord, speak to me. When you sit around as staff and you read the scriptures together, Lord, speak to me. And when you come here together, we gather together, again, Lord, speak. Speak, for your servant is listening. I tell you, it'll make such a big difference in your own life and in a meeting. You know, why is it? I mean, I'll say from this side, there are times when it seems very difficult to convey a message. And there are other times that it's very easy. And I know that it's not always on your side. It's probably a lot of times on my side the problem. But There are times when if there are people in a meeting like this who want to hear from God, God will speak. And he'll use all of us if we're willing. It's about the ear. Lord Jesus, give us ears to hear what you're saying. Lord, give us hearts that respond to your call. And so I just want to encourage us all that yes, God wants to speak to you personally. I've heard the King. His call I've answered. I've made the King of heaven my everlasting choice. Father, we thank you that you desire to speak. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son, the Word, we thank you, Lord, that you speak today. You speak life into our hearts. I pray, Lord, that each of us would hear the Son of God. And although we may have been dead in trespasses and sins, you have made us alive. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be able to hear the shepherd's voice, that we would be able to distinguish between the voices of this world, the voices that would lead us astray, that we would be able to hear your voice and know it's you. Lord, don't let us have hard hearts. Don't let our ears be dull, as it were, of hearing. Lord, you work in us. You change us, that our hearts would be receptive, that our ears would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Lord, forgive us if we ever take for granted your word, your voice. May we ever bow before you and humble ourselves. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so in these days, Lord, we know that you will speak, and we desire to hear from you. And so, Lord, make us ready. Ready to give a word for Jesus. Ready to share what you've placed within our hearts with others. And so we just commit ourselves to you. We thank you again that you in love desire to communicate with us. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Open my eyes, Lord.
Sing together 357. Tonight to wait upon God, seek Him. But if you feel you must go, or when you go, please go quietly. And for those on staff who are tired, I would encourage that you go to bed. Tomorrow morning we have staff breakfast at 7:30. The adult breakfast for guests is at 8:30. And we will have a short morning worship here. So no table worship tomorrow. You don't need to bring your Bibles to the palace. We'll meet here at 9:30 for a shortened morning worship. But let's spend some time yet, if we can, in God's presence. How wonderful it is that He draws near to us. And He speaks to us peace, rest. And so, as I said, you ought to stay. But when you need to go, go quietly and get some rest. God bless you.